here with Tony Ortiz, and thank you again for doing this interview with us and supporting our effort to document Latino presence in Ohio. So to start, where were you born and where did you grow up?
Lorain, Ohio, near Cleveland. Okay. With a lot of Latinos there, so yeah, that's where I grew up. It's right by the lake, and that there was a huge number of Puerto Ricans and Mexicanos that were that migrated there and stayed there.
Okay. Okay. What is your background?
Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican.
My parents were recruited out of Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Should have faced the cannon.
No.
They recruited out of Puerto Rico to come to work in the mills and the trucking company, so. There was a lot of them that came at the time, and they all just stayed there. Mm-hmm. And literally, one time there was it was the third largest population of Puerto Ricans besides New York and Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot.
Yes. What was your childhood like?
I was one of 13 kids.
Oh, wow.
I was a third out of the 13, mm-hmm. the first to graduate out of high school, and the first to graduate out of college. Mm-hmm. My older brother got sick, and my older sister got married early, and mm-hmm. had six kids.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. What memories do you have of just growing up here in this area and with this unique background of maybe...
Growing up in Lorain?
Yeah, in Lorain.
Here? Okay, in Lorain, the thing I remember the most is there's a lot, everything was centered around the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had masses in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
We had after every mass there was food, so we had mm-hmm. to eat different food, Puerto Rican foods and Mexican foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was just a lot that centered around the church, and everything we did was around the church. Because
mm-hmm.
my mom was in church every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a picture of my mom up there.
Oh, great.
So,
did you grow up hearing both languages?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just writing a grant for a. Something I had to write some why I was doing it, but
mm-hmm.
basically growing up I spoke Spanish at home,
mm-hmm.
spoke English at school, and
mm-hmm.
Spanglish on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was rough at first because one of the things that going home you couldn't
mm-hmm.
really get help. You had homework, you really couldn't get help. So
mm-hmm.
it was just struggled in the beginning, but we made it.
Are your parents still around?
No, both my parents passed. So.
What songs or stories were part of your family growing up, of your parents, of your friends?
With 13 kids, there was all sorts of different music playing all the time. So there was a, it was like My Big Fat Greek.
Right, yeah.
It was like that all the time. It was food all the time, and it was always eaten hot, because if you didn't eat it hot, you didn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
You never
mm-hmm.
had leftovers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, and there was a lot of art. We never locked the doors, because there were too many keys to issue, so the doors were always open, so we had a lot of different people there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you have children?
I have two daughters.
You have two daughters.
Yeah.
What are some of the traditions that you try to keep with your family now?
Unfortunately, down here in Dayton, there weren't a lot of Latinos. One of the
mm-hmm.
schools when I was at, that
mm-hmm.
was first came here and went to Beaver Creek High School
mm-hmm.
to teach there, and I was the first Latino they ever had there.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughters were a couple of handfuls.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to take them back up to Lorain all the time just so they can get a taste of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But around here, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then, they miss some of that, but I think every time they went home to see grandma and saw their cousins,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it was a whole different world for them.
Yeah, yeah. What types of jobs have you had here in
okay.
Ohio?
When I went to Bowling Green
mm-hmm.
for my undergraduate, then I went to work in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for an internship, then I went back to Bowling Green, got my master's, or no, I taught a year in between in Lorain,
mm-hmm.
And then I went back and got my master's at Bowling Green.
Mm-hmm.
And then came here in 1980. I taught Spanish and I was an athletic trainer at a high school.
Mm-hmm.
Came here in 85, started the athletic training program, the sports medicine program. And I just stopped doing that this past August. Then I took, basically started this new position, which is I'm the Associate Vice President for Latino Affairs, first Latino administrator up here.
Wow.
So, yeah, I had my work cut out for me.
Yes, a lot of pressure.
no pressure at all, because the president, he understands what we need to do. He's just going to, I got free rein, whatever I need to do. You know, I'm really thankful for a lot of stuff that I had then.
Mm-hmm.
I even have a little school
mm-hmm.
on the east end of Dayton for little kids,
oh.
little Latino kids.
Yeah, what
it's
it,
called it Puente.
Oh, Puente, yeah.
I started that 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 35 kids come there every day.
Mm-hmm.
I did it because that's what happened. That's what they did at the church when I was growing up, and that really helped us.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of my friends would have, including myself, we would have stayed working there in the steel mills. We never would have had the opportunity to go to school if we didn't get that additional help needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it went to, it's become.
Yeah.
And very successful.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Puente? Yeah, at Puente I started with Sister Maria, myself, and Rosa Caskey,
mm-hmm.
you're going to talk to tomorrow. And we started it, we have after school tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what makes it different than other tutoring programs is our College of Education students
mm-hmm.
all have to rotate through there,
mm-hmm.
part of a service learning class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's high quality tutoring. It's an experience for the student teachers,
mm-hmm.
but also a great experience for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happened is this center's become a magnet because all the other schools in the area want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all privately funded. I get all the money from friends or from grants that I apply for.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no cost to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a long waiting list of people that want to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically pick the ones with the most needs and not so much kids and just anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we get those kids from Dayton Public Schools and then also the parochial schools.
Mm-hmm. What was your main inspiration for opening
that? I had the opportunity and the means to do it
mm-hmm.
because the guy that first funded it for me, his kid played baseball here.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was a multi-millionaire, billionaire. Have you ever heard of I'm Pet Foods? He started I'm Pet Foods.
Mm-hmm.
So when I approached him about what I wanted to do, he says, he wrote the check out right there. So
mm-hmm.
and he's written out a check every year.
Great.
So.
What has been the happiest day of your life?
So my daughters were born.
Your daughters?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Maria, the one up there is the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
She went to school, your undergrad here,
mm-hmm.
and then she went to Loyola Marymount. Okay. She's basically a film. She's
mm-hmm.
writing basically here. There's a film writer,
mm-hmm.
okay, screenwriter. But she also, if you see the middle picture up there, she played basketball on a state championship team at the big school. So it was fun growing up watching her.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest one, Melissa, went to Michigan State
mm-hmm.
Undergrad
mm-hmm.
and then just finished up her grad school here.
Mm-hmm.
But she's fighting cancer, so it's been tough for her. So she hasn't really cut out her career.
I guess one of the saddest days would be finding out that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does Ohio mean to you?
Opportunity,
mm-hmm.
especially down here.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many schools here.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we got Wright Patt Air Force Base right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of changes constantly going, a lot of opportunities for people that come here and do well.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's no excuse because
mm-hmm.
opportunities are there. If you don't take advantage of the opportunities, it's no one's fault, but yourself, you know, because the chances are there.
Yeah, we've heard that and from other people that we've interviewed that Ohio means opportunities for many.
Yeah,
that you don't find in other states.
I mean, in, like here, we got 10 colleges within 30 miles of each other. It's crazy, and I mean, they're all looking for Latino students, right? Mm-hmm. And we just need to push up the Latino families to change that mindset of working, mm-hmm. and working hard. If they work hard now, they work less later, mm-hmm. okay? Use your brains. Mm-hmm. Brain power versus manpower, I mean, mm-hmm. you're gonna get a lot further ahead. It's just convincing the families that, hey, you don't need that car right now. You can buy 10 cars later.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that a lot of the work that you've done here in the community is educating parents,
yes.
about the importance of higher ed?
Yeah, and just showing them how easy the process is. Because I would have never been here if it wasn't for a guy named Saul Torres back in Lorain, Ohio. Because my parents couldn't help me go to school, but he took an interest in the Latinos there, mm-hmm. and he helped us fill out the paperwork, take us through the process, had us visit schools, and mm-hmm. got us started. Mm-hmm. So we need more Saul Torreses like that throughout the whole state to mm-hmm. get kids in school.
Mm-hmm. If you could keep a memory alive forever, what would it be?
This job right now.
This job is the dream.
Yeah, because I really, you know, being up here next, working for the president, there's no limits as to what I can do. Mm-hmm. If I have an idea, I just take it down the hall and tell him what I want to do, and he says, do it. I don't have to go through a lot of different layers, mm-hmm. okay? A lot of people, because what's happened in a lot of places is, you have a great idea and you take it to a certain person and they stop it, mm-hmm. then never goes anywhere. I don't have to do that. I just have to go right down the hall. Mm-hmm. And he either says yes or no. 90% of the time, he can't say no. Say no to me, so.
great. Yeah. When I was little, I always liked to hear stories about my mom growing mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
What are some of the stories that your daughters like to hear about you growing up?
How I used to get smacked by my mom all the time for being a smart aleck. they became real close to my mom because my mom was like a saint. I mean, she was in church all the time and she did the rosaries for everybody every night somewhere, and she took us along. Mm-hmm. And it was just a special bond there, mm-hmm. and they liked to hear that. In fact, my youngest daughter did her first year at Michigan State, had to do an article on her. And I didn't know a lot of stuff, but I had to sit there and interpret from my mom, or just mm-hmm. to be there, and it was an unbelievable story.
I learned
a lot about my mom. I had no idea. Well, you know, for instance, my mom, she was supposed to be a nun. She was going to become a nun. But because her parents didn't get married through the church, mm-hmm. it didn't allow her to become a nun. Luckily for 13 of us that occurred.
Yes. From a nun to the mother of 13. Great. I can guess that this right now, the job that you have, is one of the proudest moments of your life. Mm-hmm. Can you think of other ones that have made you?
Yeah. There's not up here, but my students in athletic training, when I got done, when I was done with the program, they had a function for me. They created a scholarship in my name. Mm-hmm. Which is endowed, it's like $20,000 in there, it's endowed for life. Mm-hmm. What happens with that money, we pick a couple of students every year. Mm-hmm. They get money that otherwise they couldn't afford to come to school.
Yeah.
So that's there. And
forever.
That's there forever.
That's great. If you were to offer advice to immigrants to Ohio, what would you tell them?
Come and settle. Mm-hmm. Because it's affordable housing. Also, my advice to them as well is to get into good schools, get involved, tell their parents get involved. Okay, because if you don't get involved, and learn the process, get involved in making sure that your kid is getting what they deserve. So.
Mm-hmm. What message would you like to give to your kids or grandkids in the future about life in general?
Don't sit back. You know, if you want something done, take the initiative to start and see it through, follow through, get it done. And don't do it haphazard. Don't take pride in what you do.
Anything else you would like to add to? Well, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon.
No problem.
Thank you.